Good morning. Our call to worship this morning is number 174 in your hymnal, also on the screen. His name is wonderful. Heavenly Father, we have come together this morning to worship the one whose name is above all names. We thank you, Lord, that we do have a Savior. We thank you that you do love and care for each one of us. We pray now that you'd be with us in these moments together, that we might give you the honor and glory that is yours. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is number 526. 526, what a friend we have in Jesus.
What a privilege to care.
Let's join our hearts and voices together in this historic confession of our Christian faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated. As we go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share? Amen. Thank you. Chris? Okay. Also be praying for Catherine. Friday, she's going to be having surgery on her foot. So she's going to be immobile for a while. Our daughter Rebecca is coming up from Warner Robins Air Force Base in Georgia. She's going to spend a week with us. Catherine won't be able to take care of me, so Rebecca's coming up to take care of both of us. But do be praying for her for traveling mercies. Any others?
Martha Yokley.
Martha Yokley, okay. And also remember Ellie in your prayers too. Okay, our prayer chorus this morning is a reminder that he is Lord. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you this morning that he is Lord, that we do serve a risen Savior. Lord, we pray this morning that you'd be with each one of your children gathered here. We've come, Lord, not because we are perfect, but because we are needy. We pray this morning that you'd be with each one that needs a physical touch, not only those gathered here, but those at home, those in the hospital, those that are watching on Facebook. We pray that your healing touch would be on them. We are so thankful, Lord, that you are the great physician. We're thankful, Lord, that your word promises that we can cast our every care upon you because you do care for us. We pray this morning, Lord, that you would be with little Ellie. You said, allow the little children to come to me because of such is the kingdom of heaven. We pray for your healing touch on her this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would be with those who are going through times of grief, grieving the loss of a loved one, grieving the loss of youth, grieving the financial situations, job situations, grieving relationship situations. Lord, just help us right now that we might dare to trust you, that we might realize that your grace is sufficient and your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Heavenly Father, we pray today for our troops, wherever they may be. We pray that you'd watch over them and keep them safe. Be with their families during this time of separation. We pray especially, Lord, for our leaders. Not only our local and state and world leaders, but especially our national leaders. Lord, they need your guidance and your strength. We are called to be one nation under God. We pray that you would be with those who would seek to divide our nation up. We pray that you would be with those who would seek to take God and the Bible out of everything that our nation is founded on. Help us, Lord, that we might take a stand. Help us that we might let the world know who we are and whose we are. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for all of the freedoms we enjoy. We thank you for all of your many wonderful blessings. We thank you for this beautiful season of the year in beautiful East Tennessee. Help us now that we might act like children of God. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let me remind you that the offering receptacles are at both doors. We thank you for your faithfulness through all of this interesting time. We pray that you would remember the offering and allow God to bless your heart as you give for the building of his kingdom. Let it be. Jesus is my plea. We thank you for the faithfulness of your people. We thank you, Lord, for each gift, for each giver, for each one who's unable to give. We pray that you would bless them now in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated.
Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. The following is from the Message. By this time, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus, listening intently. The Pharisees and religion scholars were not pleased, not at all pleased. They growled, "He takes in sinners and eats meals with them, treating them like old friends." Their grumbling triggered this story. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you found it? When found, you can be sure you would put it across your shoulders, rejoicing. And when you got home, call in your friends and neighbors, saying, "Celebrate with me, I found my lost sheep." Count on it. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people in no need of rescue. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Love you. Well, they say give a person enough rope or enough wire and they'll hang themselves. I love those microphones. Heard a story one time about a minister. He was out in his backyard, and he found a little kitten that had climbed up in a tree there. And that kitten was afraid to come down. The tree was too fragile for the preacher to climb, so he coaxed the kitten. He offered it food and treats and milk and everything else, and it would not come down. The minister was pondering on what he could do to get the cat down, and finally he hit on an idea. He couldn't climb the tree because it was so tender and fragile, but he pulled his car around back, hooked up a rope to the front bumper of the car and to the tree, and slowly backed up the car with the idea that he would pull the tree down to where he could get a hold of the kitten and take it out of the tree. He backed up carefully, and he thought, just a little bit more and I'll have the tree down far enough to where I can get a hold of the kitten. As he backed up, the rope broke. And the cat flew off into the wild blue yonder. The pastor felt terrible. He walked all over the neighborhood asking people if they'd seen the kitten. No one had. So he prayed, "Lord, I commit this kitten to your keeping," and then went about his activities. A few days later, he was in a grocery store, and he saw one of his church members with a shopping cart full of cat stuff. Food, bed, litter box, cat toys. He was amazed because this woman did not like cats, and she made it a point to let everybody at church know that she did not like cats at all. So he went over and asked her why she was buying cat stuff. She replied, "Pastor, you're not going to believe this. My 4-year-old daughter has been begging me for a cat, but I kept telling her no. A few days ago, she begged me again, and I told her, the only way you're going to get a cat is if God gives you one. I watched. My daughter went out into the backyard, got on her knees, and asked God for a cat. And Pastor, you won't believe this, but I saw it with my own eyes. A kitten came flying out of the blue sky and with its paws outspread and landed right in front of her." My friends, never underestimate God's power and God's unique sense of humor. God has one, believe me. You remember, the Bible tells about one April 14th. I don't know that it was April 14th over there, but that's what works for us. The disciples came to Jesus and said, "Master, tomorrow's tax day and we don't have any money to pay our taxes. What are we going to do?" Jesus could have reached into his wallet and pulled out his credit card or pulled out some cash and said, "Here you go." But he didn't. He said, "I'll tell you what to do." He said, "You go on down to the lake, throw your line in. The first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you'll find some money in there for the taxes." Jesus, you're joking with us again, aren't you? Nope. They went down, threw the line in, caught a fish, opened its mouth. There was some money for the taxes. God does have a sense of humor. Paul Newman, you remember, I'm sure you're aware that he started his own food company several years ago. Many products bear his name, Newman's Own. With the profits from this business, Newman helped to build a camp for critically ill children. It's called the Hole in the Wall Gang Camp. The name was taken from his movie, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. One day, Newman was sitting in the dining room at camp at one of the tables. One of the campers came up and asked him who he was. The actor reached for a carton of Newman's Own lemonade and showed the camper his likeness on the side of the carton. And he said, "This is me." Camper looked at the carton, looked at him, looked at the carton, looked at him. And then the camper said, "Are you lost or something?" It's frightening to be lost. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus talks about being lost. He tells of a lost sheep, a lost coin, two sons that were lost. We'll talk about that some more in a little bit. And the lost lamb. God cares about all of those who have gone astray. The picture of God as the great good shepherd is at least as old as the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. We find that Jesus uses the illustration of sheep and shepherds a number of times in his messages to the people. And I think perhaps part of this had to do with some of his sense of humor too. He knew what the religious leaders thought about shepherds. Why? Well, let me share a couple personal stories with you. In one church I pastored, my treasurer was a dairy farmer who had about 145 head of cattle. Many was the time when I went out to the farm and his 12-year-old son and 15-year-old daughter would be working in the barn barefoot. I guess they figured it was easier to clean their feet than it was to clean their boots. It was all part and parcel of operating a dairy. One summer, I took a busload of teenagers from Michigan to a Bible dude ranch out in Wyoming. It was July. It was a hot day. I told the kids, I said, "Now you're in for a treat. We are in Iowa." They couldn't understand. They said, "What does that mean?" I said, "Just wait. You'll find out." About 10 minutes later, we got downwind from a big hog farm. And they couldn't put the windows up fast enough, and they were gagging, they were choking. They caught on real quick. Now, how in the world do these fit into today's sermon? Well, you see, back in Jesus' day, there was also a certain air about being a shepherd. Even today, the image of shepherds in society is not a good one. Let me give you another illustration. A doctor, a rancher, and a shepherd got into an argument about which one of them was the smartest. The doctor was educated and arrogant. He claimed to be the most intelligent. The rancher was wealthy and powerful. He believed he was smarter. They both resented the shepherd. He was uneducated and he smelled like the sheep. The proprietor of the general store was set up to be the judge of this contest to determine just who was really the smartest. He told the three, he said, "Okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll have a little contest." He said, "I've got a shed out here behind my store, and I don't know how it happened, but a skunk got into the shed." He said, "The one that can get the skunk out of the shed is the smartest." The doctor went in first. He was in there about 30 seconds, and the doctor came running back out. The rancher was next. He went in. He was in there for about a minute and a half, and he came out in a hurry. The shepherd went in third, and after he'd been in there about 30 seconds, the skunk came out. Now you're starting to get the idea. You see, in dry and dusty Palestine 2,000 years ago, water was a luxury. It was used mainly for drinking and for caring for the sheep. So the shepherds hardly ever took a bath. Most of the shepherds' time was spent around the sheep and not around people. Even the sheep back then did not have a very good image. If we were to start a sports team today and we wanted to find a name for the mascot, we might consider choosing the lions or the tigers or the eagles or the bears. They give some sense of power and strength. Not too many would want to name their mascot after a sheep. Okay, there are the rams, for what they're worth. But sheep are not known for their agility and strength. That is why sheep need a shepherd. That is why God watches and cares for you so much. Isaiah reminds us that all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Every one of us feels lost at one time or another. Some of us have hurts that were inflicted on us early in life that still cause us pain. They even cause us to do some dumb things and say some dumb things, and we really don't know why we did or why we said it. We don't seem to be able to help ourselves. That's why we need a shepherd. That's why we need a God of lost sheep. That's why we need a God who comes to us right where we are. Let me share this morning four ways with you that we might become lost. First of all, we can become lost by wandering off. The lamb in Jesus' parable probably really did not intend to get lost. It nibbled a little bit of grass here and nibbled a little bit there and nibbled a little bit more over there. And all of a sudden it looked up and the rest of the sheep were nowhere to be found. Billy Graham says that other religions are the story of humankind's search for God. Christianity is a story of God's search for us. That's what a shepherd is all about. We live in a society today that's a whole lot more mobile than it's ever been before in the United States of America. The idea of wandering away, of losing contact. Used to be that people knew just about every family in their neighborhood. Now, here in Roane County, it may not be quite as accentuated as it is in so many other parts of the country. My mother was born at 366 Conway Street in Greenfield, Massachusetts, in 1913. I was born in that very same house 30 years later. When my mother was 44, she moved out of that house, and we moved to another house in Florida. My mother lived in that house for 49 years. In 93 years, she only lived in two different houses. Before I was away from home for 3 years, I'd lived in more houses than that. You get the idea. In our mobile society, we develop friendships, but people move away, and it's so easy to lose touch, even with unlimited long-distance calls, even with air travel, even with the internet. It's never been easier to maintain contact, but so often we don't. We do that with God, too, when you think about it. How much time this week did you spend with God? How many of our unlimited minutes did we spend in prayer? How much time did we spend reading the Bible? How much time did we spend showing this wild, crazy world what God's unconditional love is really like? Like that lamb, it's easy for you and me to wander away from God. Number two, we can become lost, we can be led astray by others. Not long ago, there was a story in the Associated Press that talked about sheep that illustrates how others can lead us on the wrong path. It seems that high on a hillside in Turkey, there was a flock of over 1,500 sheep grazing way up near the peak. The shepherds were taking a coffee break when, for whatever reason, one of the sheep took off running and ran right over a cliff. Before the shepherds could react, the whole flock took off after that sheep and went right over the cliff. When it ended, 450 of those animals lay dead on top of each other down at the bottom. Those who jumped last were saved because the pile got higher and the fall became more cushioned. Over the years, I've had a number of people tell me that they no longer attend church because of what someone in the church said or did. Now, maybe that's an excuse on their part. And maybe it's a condemnation on the church folk that do that sort of thing. Jesus said, anyone who causes one of his children to stumble would be better off to tie a millstone. You know what a millstone is, right? About this big round. He said to be better off to tie a millstone around their neck and jump into a lake. You get the picture? I have an idea we're going to have to give an accounting before God. But following the wrong crowd can get us lost very quickly. Thirdly, we can be lost by running away. We started the sermon by talking about a cat. Let's talk about another one. This cat's name was George. George was from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Now, I don't know how, but somehow George ended up in Chicago, Illinois, 1,300 miles away. He ended up in an animal shelter. He was scheduled to be euthanized when they discovered that he did have a microchip. They contacted George's owner in New Mexico. The story got out. A businessman from Albuquerque called the owner and volunteered. I said, on the next business trip I take to Chicago, I'll bring George back home again. It's amazing how often that happens with people. In that same 15th chapter of Luke, Jesus tells about a son who ran away. He wanted more. He was greedy. He was inconsiderate. He was disrespectful of his father. And he thought that somewhere else would be a better place. I've shared a similar story with you before, but Bishop Gerald Kennedy tells one very similar to it. He tells about a young man who was proposing to the love of his life. The young man said, I do know that I'm not a great athlete like Donald. I don't have a big mansion like Donald does, and I don't have a yacht like Donald does, and I'll never have a private jet like Donald does, and I don't have as much money as Donald does, but I love you with all my heart, and I want you to be my wife. She replied, I love you too, but tell me some more about Donald. We're always looking for something more. We leave family, friends, and God, and run off looking for the far-off country of selfishness. And finally, number four, we can be lost through our own resentments and lack of forgiveness. We don't want to get too far away from the sheep in today's scripture, but in the same chapter, Jesus talks about that older brother who became lost because he was resentful, he was jealous, he was judgmental, he was bitter, he was angry, and he was self-righteous. Very often we look at that chapter and we don't see the elder son as being as lost as the younger son, or the lamb, or the coin. The truth is that older brother was also lost. You've heard me say before that you could take a person and chain him to a telephone pole and blindfold him and gag him, and he could still break all 10 of the 10 commandments. This older brother was still going to church. This older brother was still at home. He hadn't left. He was still doing the job he was supposed to be doing. But at the close of the story, we find the younger brother repenting, coming back and asking for the father's forgiveness. And the scripture tells us there was a big celebration for him. But the scripture also tells us the older brother, by his own choice, was not in that celebration. I've had people say, well, preacher, I don't believe a loving God would send anybody to hell. Well, I don't either. But I do believe that God respects our free will, and if we choose to go, God will let us. He'll try his best to convince us otherwise, but ultimately it's our decision. Don't try to blame God for it. Years ago, Carol Houselander wrote some beautiful and disturbing words in her book, The Reed, R-E-E-D, of God. She said, if ever we have loved someone deeply and then lost them through separation, estrangement, or death, we know that there's an instinct to look for them in every crowd. The human heart is not reasonable. It will go on seeking for those whom it loves, even when and if they are gone. It will miss a beat when someone passes by who bears them the least resemblance. I think we've all been there. So often I've been out in a crowd and I'll see a little child and I'll think, well, that looks like, and then I remember that little child is from 45 years ago and they've probably got grandchildren of their own now. But we just instinctively look for those that we know and those we miss and those we love. Love is forever seeking the one who's lost. And that is why the good shepherd is willing even to leave the 99 sheep to find a lost lamb that wandered away from the fold. John the Baptist referred to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the message of the cross and the empty tomb. Daniel D. Meyer tells about a painting that shows a lamb that has strayed away from the flock and it's now tangled up in a thicket and it cannot get loose. Not far from that thicket is a green pasture where the rest of the flock is grazing. At first glance of the picture, there's a detail that might be easy to miss. But just to the left of that lamb that's tangled up in the briars and the brambles, barely discernible, is a shepherd making his way toward the lamb. His eyes and face reflect the compassion that he has for that loved one struggling. But he's going to reach out for him. Remember that song that we've sung so many times that says, oh, for the wonderful love he has promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. It's very easy to get lost. But remember, Jesus has come to seek and to save. We have a shepherd who loves us more than anything. We have a God who so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him would not be lost, would not perish, and would have everlasting life. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your love and for your grace. We pray that you would help each one of us. We can't save ourselves. We can't find our way back on our own. But Lord, you can reach out in your love and grace. Through the leading and guiding of your Holy Spirit, you can bring us back to you. Help us that we might turn our eyes toward you, that we might reach out toward you because you're already reaching out toward us. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Our closing hymn this morning, appropriately enough, is Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us, number 381 in your hymnal, also on the screen. Shall we stand together as we sing?
Shepherd, lead us, much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy folds repair. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, be thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, pure and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to receive us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, we will early turn to thee. Blessed Jesus. Seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and Holy Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, surrender still. Blessed Jesus. Thou hast loved us, love us still.
Now may you leave this place, knowing that there is one who loves and cares for you, who will be with you no matter what. Remember that there ain't nothing going to happen to us today that us and God together can't handle. He is our shepherd. Go now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.